economy in motion, the kinetic art of turning energy into wealth. So this graph demonstrates global GDP going back over 2,000 years by tracking total output adjusted for inflation in US dollar terms using prices in 2011. Basically, this is most of human economic history in one chart. Now, one does not need to be particularly perceptive to notice that during much of this observation period, economic production grew with a gentle slope, largely mirroring population growth. Then, it exploded upward, growing exponentially during the Industrial Revolution. The simple answer is that new technologies during the Industrial Revolution drove this power law distribution. But that explanation is incomplete, because humans have been developing new technologies as far back as the physical anthropological record goes. In fact, chimpanzees and orangutans, two of our closest genetic relatives, have been observed to use simple tools by repurposing objects in their natural habitats. The theory of the adjacent possible offers a compelling explanation for the progression from the earliest tools used by human ancestors, such as stones, sticks, and bones, to the vast array of sophisticated technologies available today, like computers, nuclear power, and artificial intelligence. This phenomenon is driven by autocatalytic processes that fuel increasing diversity within these systems. Essentially, the introduction of novelty initiates a positive feedback loop where a set of transactions that enable each other in a self-sustaining manner contribute to a combinatorial increase in diversity. This process, inherently unpredictable in its specific outcomes, underlies the observable hockey stick growth pattern characterized by a long period of relative stability and slow growth, abruptly transitioning to rapid expansion and diversification. Central to economic growth and technological advancement is the concept of combinatorial innovation. This notion posits that new technologies often emerge from the novel combination of existing ones, from the creation of the stone axe millions of years ago, which combined a hand axe, a stick, and a string, to the development of the early trains, which merged steam locomotives with horse-drawn carriages. The pattern of innovation has been largely combinatorial. The essence of TAP lies in the exponential increase in possible new technologies or inventions as the number of existing technologies grows. At any given moment, the adjacent possible encompasses all potential new combinations of existing technologies, expanding with each innovation to allow for an ever-increasing array of future inventions. For instance, while trains were beyond the realm of possibility millions of years ago, the invention of the steam engine dramatically expanded the adjacent possible, making locomotives and subsequently trains feasible. Now, naturally, we can describe this process mathematically in the TAP equation, where N subscript T represents the number of existing technologies at any time T, and the parameters alpha I denote the decreasing probabilities of successful new inventions as the number of combined items increases. This equation accurately models the exponential growth rate observed in the economy, illustrating the predictive power of combinatorial innovation for technological evolution and economic expansion. This theory not only explains past trends in technological advancement and economic growth, but it also suggests a predictable pattern for future developments. Since the Industrial Revolution, real global GDP has grown by nearly 100 times. Labor productivity is up 13-fold over that period. And U.S. equities have delivered a healthy annualized total real return of 7.1% since 1871. The theory of the adjacent possible explains the strong performance of stocks since the Industrial Revolution and predicts that they should continue to outperform over the long term. Indeed, the mathematics behind TAP demonstrate that only the permanent loss of a substantial portion of our cumulative technological knowledge could disrupt this power law distribution once it gets started. If only something cataclysmic can derail the equity train, does it really matter what you have in your portfolio then? At Insignio, we strive to ever be mindful of the difference between forecast and strategy. When we are forecasting, we're simply using statistical models to inform you of what we think is most likely to happen. For example, the economy will slip into recession in the next 12 months, or U.S. rates will fall, or at least one of Joe Biden or Donald Trump will not be a candidate by the November election. The following section will contain a plethora of economic and market forecasts, just like the preceding. But strategy is more holistic, balancing the risks to any forecast while also factoring in how parts of an investor's portfolio may affect the rest. Investment strategy needs to incorporate all possible outcomes, not just the most likely ones. After the section detailing macroeconomic and market forecasts, the remaining sections will be filled with strategy pieces on a nascent energy revolution occurring concurrently and synergistically with the artificial intelligence revolution. They are both influencing and enhancing one another. Powerful feedback loops exist between the two, and combinatorial math is hard at work. The adjacent possible in action, turning potential energy into kinetic energy, fueling exponential economic growth. So the Fed can pull off a soft landing, but can they stick it? Against all odds and history, the Fed might be able to softly land the U.S. economy. That is, they may be able to calibrate monetary policy just finely enough to keep a disinflationary trend in place while simultaneously avoiding a recession. The macroeconomic data are mostly signaling this outcome, for now. But the better question is, for how long can they stick that landing? Here we are less convinced. This chart demonstrates that the unemployment rate is a highly mean reverting series, and there are two major takeaways. First, it does not tend to stay down for exceedingly long. Second, once it starts to creep higher, it usually explodes higher. There is no gradual ascent. In The Sun Also Rises, one of Hemingway's characters asked, "How did you go bankrupt?" The reply, two ways, gradually and then suddenly. Interestingly, this quote is even more applicable in the case of the unemployment rate than it first appears, because nothing must happen for the unemployment rate to start ticking higher. By virtue of it being so low, it creates the necessary conditions for it to go higher. During the Q1 2024 quarterly, we discussed how the kinked or L-slanted Phillips curve framework has served as a useful model for the post-pandemic recovery. It predicts that the relationship between inflation and unemployment becomes more volatile as the economy nears full employment. In times of high unemployment, companies can easily expand their workforce without significantly increasing wages. However, when the economy is at full employment, firms must attract employees from competitors by offering higher wages. In turn, this leads to inflationary pressures. Illustrating why maintaining a low unemployment rate without triggering inflation is challenging, and central banks must respond with restrictive monetary policy. In other words, the kinked Phillips curve explains the inability of the unemployment rate to decrease permanently and stay there. Once the unemployment rate starts rising, aggregate demand falters, more people lose their jobs, spending falls further, and the loop feeds upon itself. It is autocatalytic. In fact, since World War II, there has never been an instance where the three-month moving average of the unemployment rate has risen by more than 0.3% without a recession ensuing. The unemployment rate hit a low of 3.4% in April 2023, and it is now at 3.9%. Perhaps this time around, labor force participation is being underrepresented. Maybe there are 2 or 3 million extra workers in the United States due to heightened immigration that are skewing the Labor Department's figures. Perhaps the pandemic has changed how willing companies are to dismiss employees after the difficulty of hiring workers after the COVID pandemic. Maybe, as they say, this time will indeed be different, but we would not bet on it. In our view, contrary to the consensus on Wall Street, the probability of a U.S. recession is rising rather than falling over a 12-month period. This graph reflects our updated subjective recessionary probabilities over the next 6 and 12 months. As we noted to start the year, the first half looks benign, and the U.S. will avoid recessionary conditions. We are increasingly confident in that view and agree with current market pricing. But as we move into the second half of the year, the picture becomes murkier as recessionary risks increase, requiring more defensive portfolio positioning, especially given the market's recent momentum-driven run and high valuations. Forget the Magnificent Seven and the market cap weighted indices. Even the equal weight S&P 500 is now expensive. Its PE has expanded to 17 times, which ranks in the 92nd percentile since 1985. If the fair value is 15 times, then it is about 13% overvalued. Now, it is not time to run for the hills or hide in a bunker either. Following past periods when the equal weight index has been similarly overvalued, it has typically continued to rise over the subsequent year. However, returns were below average. In this instance, the market valuation analysis matches the macroeconomic forecast we just alluded to. As this next chart demonstrates, lower rates of unemployment in the U.S. are usually followed by lower equity returns. The S&P 500 has historically delivered stronger returns during periods of high unemployment. The explanation for this counterintuitive trend is a two-sided coin. When the unemployment rate is low, the economy is doing well and stocks become expensive. Conversely, since unemployment is mean reverting, once it reaches a nadir, it eventually starts rising. People cut spending, increase savings, and the positive feedback loop of recession ensues. Like our macroeconomic forecasts, our market views are only moderately altered from the start of the year when we first published them. This table displays our current expectations for the S&P 500 and the U.S. 10-year Treasury under the three scenarios previously mentioned. The subjective distribution implies a weighted average level of 4,800 for the S&P 500 and 3.7% for the U.S. 10-year Treasury by year end, implying a return of negative 8.5% and positive 12% respectively as of closing levels of March 27, 2024. For credit, we simply do not think investors are being adequately compensated for potential defaults. In fact, credit spreads are pricing in a substantial decline in default risk over the next few quarters, which is unlikely, even with a non-recessionary outcome. The U.S. dollar should weaken over the next few months, but then re-strengthen when the next recession arrives. Over the longer term, though, the greenback remains expensive on a trade-weighted basis, so we expect it to depreciate over the long haul. The Japanese yen, on the other hand, is quite possibly the cheapest major global currency and should strengthen over the long term, especially if there is a short covering rally later this year. In the commodity complex, over the long term, the outlook for industrial metals is better than for oil, but in the near term, both should end the year higher than current levels. Lastly, while gold is expensive, lower real rates and persistent central bank purchases should keep the shiny metal well bid. Finally, we will publish extensively on this topic over the next few months, but a few brief comments on the November U.S. presidential election seem appropriate. First, there is a narrative forming that former President Donald Trump should be seen as the overwhelming favorite to win the election. While he is currently the odds favorite, it is too early to start trading around this outcome. This graph shows us that Trump's odds are sitting at around 47%. While Biden's chances hover at approximately 41%. But the gap has been narrowing in recent weeks. The other takeaway is that there is a higher than usual chance that one or both men are not the candidates come the election. I would not say likely, but it also cannot be summarily dismissed. Peg it at 10 to 20%. The fact that so many other candidates who have dropped out of the race or have not even entered the race are still being priced in betting markets reflects the abnormality of this cycle given the presumptive candidates' ages, high unfavorability ratings, mental competency or lack thereof, and possible felony judgments. As an aside, there is now ample academic evidence that aggregating betting markets like we see in this chart are a better predictor of election results than polling. So, as we near the election, keep your eyes on the betting markets and not the polls. chain reaction. Nuclear energy in the context of power generation refers to the use of nuclear reactions to produce electricity. The most common method involves nuclear fission, where the nucleus of a heavier atom splits into lighter nuclei, releasing a significant amount of energy in the form of heat and radiation. This heat is then used to produce steam, which drives turbines connected to generators, ultimately converting kinetic energy into electrical energy. The process begins with the mining and processing of uranium, a radioactive element used as fuel in nuclear reactors. Inside the reactor, uranium atoms are bombarded with neutrons, triggering fission reactions. These reactions are carefully controlled to ensure a steady release of energy, maintaining the reactor's temperature within safe limits. Although nuclear fission reactions drive all current commercial applications, there are hopes that nuclear fusion may one day take the baton as a leading source of energy on the planet as we scale up the 10 to the 16th watts needed to evolve into a Type 1 civilization on Kardashev scale. We wrote extensively on this subject in our Q2 2023 quarterly, by the way. But back to the present, nuclear power plants are capable of producing large amounts of electricity without emitting greenhouse gases during operation, making them a low-carbon option for meeting the world's energy demands. Despite the benefits, challenges remain, and these include safety concerns, nuclear waste management and storage, and high initial construction costs. Perhaps the most significant impediment centers around public opinion, where misconceptions surrounding nuclear energy safety abound. The public significantly exaggerates the risks of nuclear accidents, and it tends to overstate the concerns regarding waste management and proliferation risks as well. Even in many developed countries, nuclear energy is perceived by many as unsafe as burning coal, which is incongruous. Nuclear accidents are highly improbable, left-tail risk events. Only the Chernobyl accident resulted in human fatalities, and that plant was operated for 14 years after the incident and only closed in 2000 after pressure from the European Union. In sum, misinformation and poor communication about the true costs and benefits of nuclear power have all conspired to engender this public misconception. Mercifully, Homer Simpson does not manage nuclear safety these days, and the risks of a calamitous accident are even lower today as these past few failures allowed modern nuclear power plants to deploy multiple safety protocols. The conditions were set for a resurgence. All that was needed was a spark. Well, geopolitics provided it. The Russian invasion of Ukraine catapulted energy security to the forefront of concerns when formulating national energy policy across many parts of the world, particularly in Europe and the United States. Indeed, both the EU's inclusion of nuclear energy in its sustainable finance taxonomy and the Inflation Reduction Act in the United States incentivized the proliferation of domestic nuclear industries. This shift in global attitudes towards nuclear power is also mirrored in countries like South Korea, Belgium, Finland, and Japan. Japan's pivot is extraordinary, given that it is the only country in history to have suffered from both nuclear attacks in Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II, and the nuclear plant failure at Fukushima over 13 years ago. During last year's historic UN COP28 in Dubai, 20 countries pledged to triple nuclear energy by 2050, indicating significant momentum and investment interest in nuclear energy, highlighting its role in decarbonization efforts. Policy support that incorporates CO2 emissions costs into electricity pricing will benefit nuclear energy significantly and level the playing field with other low-carbon technologies. The main objective of the declaration emphasizes the need for a significant shift away from the global nuclear investments yearly average over the last 10 years. We already observed a notable increase in global nuclear investment in 2023, rising to $63 billion from $50 billion in 2022, and up from an average of $32 billion from 2011 to 2021. According to COP28's net zero scenario, global nuclear investment will average $125 billion annually from 2026 to 2030. Moreover, recent advancements in technology and safety measures have ignited chain reactions in the field, leading to greater government attention and investor interest. Overall, one can say that a nuclear renaissance may be afoot, and the market has begun to price it in. Uranium prices, for example, are up almost 80% over the past 12 months. In this presentation, our aim is to clarify misunderstandings surrounding nuclear energy and highlight its potential as a significant investment opportunity amidst the global pivot towards decarbonizing economies. For the first time in many decades, the nuclear industry is once again becoming a growth industry with renewed willingness and ability to play a central role in the energy transition away from fossil fuels. Today, nuclear energy is responsible for around 9% of total global electricity. We expect nuclear power generation to more than double by 2040, if some of the themes we touch on today are realized. Much of that will be contingent upon overcoming challenges related to construction costs and leveraging existing supply chains and standardized designs. Nonetheless, with its high capacity factor and low greenhouse gas emissions, nuclear energy should play a pivotal role in the global energy demand mix of the future. Earlier, we discussed how accident and safety assessments from the general public do not match the reality when it comes to nuclear energy. Even more relevant today, given the risks associated with climate change, is the nuclear industry's safety record once you factor in total greenhouse gas emissions and related deaths. A recent study from MIT estimated that an additional 5,200 pollution-related deaths in the United States would be realized if all domestic nuclear power production would be supplanted by oil, natural gas, and coal. As this next chart demonstrates, only wind energy can claim to emit fewer greenhouse gases per kilowatt hour than nuclear. As an aside, wind only tops nuclear because we're not considering the emissions necessary to mine all the materials that are needed to build wind farms. The most potent argument against nuclear energy is that spent fuel from the reactors remains radioactive for a million years. This is true, but it is also true that 99% of the radioactive decay takes place during the first 10 years. The amount of radiation one would receive standing next to one of these concrete containers after 10 years is negligible and would barely register in a radiation dosimeter. By most vectors, nuclear energy is superior to the other main renewable energy contenders like wind and solar. One such measure is operating capacity, which factors in reliability and reflects the frequency running at maximum power generation. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, nuclear energy's operating capacity is 92% without battery storage capacity, compared to about 30% for both wind and solar. In other words, for each watt of electricity generated, three wind and solar farms would be required to match the capacity of a single nuclear plant. A further significant distinction lies in the construction materials required to get these projects built. These graphs reflect the various key bulk and critical metal materials used across various energy technologies per unit of generated electricity adjusted for operating capacity. Unequivocally, wind and solar energy utilize far greater resources. Obtaining those resources requires high energy input costs and therefore economic externalities such as air pollution. Lastly, and perhaps the most important metric when considering which energy investment is the most efficient, is the energy return on investment, EROI. Similar to return on investment, ROI, in the financial world, this measure captures the amount of energy delivered versus the energy expended to produce it. This graph demonstrates that, again, nuclear power proves to be much more efficient than other renewable sources. Third-generation reactors, which began to be deployed in the 1990s and 2000s, incorporate passive safety features and other design improvements, but still use water as a coolant. Nevertheless, these have an EROI of 75, both with and without storage, far outpacing their next closest competitor, hydroelectric power, at about 50 EROI without storage and 35 with storage. This alone would make the case for nuclear energy a powerful one. However, the EROI on the new fourth generation reactors is literally off the chart. These new reactors are designed to be safer, more efficient, and more sustainable than previous generations of nuclear power plants. As the graph shows, their estimated EROI value could be an extraordinary 750. They are more efficient, with higher conversion rates of nuclear fuel to electricity, but they are also more sustainable, with lower waste production and the ability to use nuclear waste as fuel. Looking ahead, it seems that given recent developments in the political sphere and advances within the industry, policies aimed at decarbonization will ensure a fair competition among all low-carbon energy technologies based on their own merits. If so, then nuclear energy stands to gain the most from this shift. For the first time in many years, there is both the desire and the capability to invest in the nuclear sector, signaling its resurgence as an area of growth. The ongoing momentum in the nuclear industry further strengthens the positive outlook for uranium and the companies involved in the nuclear fuel cycle. We will now delve deeper into some of the investment opportunities born of this nuclear renaissance. One of the most straightforward investment opportunities within this space is through physical uranium, which is witnessing a surge in demand against limited supply capacity. The World Nuclear Association forecasts a 30% increase in uranium demand by 2030, as nations strive to meet zero carbon targets. Moreover, expectations are that uranium demand may subsequently double by 2040. Of course, the market has taken notice of this burgeoning renaissance in nuclear power. As mentioned previously, spot uranium prices are up almost 80% over the past 12 months and 110% since the start of 2023. However, as this graph shows, they are still well below the historical highs during the late 2000s, when the bull case was much weaker and the industry was languishing. Unlike other commodities, like gold or copper, uranium does not trade on an open market, which means you can only gain exposure to it through futures, ETFs like the Sprott Physical Uranium Trust, and public companies that invest in the physical metal, like Yellowcake and Uranium Royalty Corporation. Yellowcake, for instance, purchases and stores uranium oxide, so an investor could mitigate risks associated with exploration and mining. On the other hand, Uranium Royalty Corporation represents a diversified portfolio of uranium interests that include royalties. The benefit to owning the metal, as opposed to owning uranium miners, is that physical uranium is less volatile due to the benign mix of rising demand and the current supply deficit. Moreover, uranium will also function as a portfolio diversifier to hedge both inflation and recession risks this year. Of course, exposure to uranium miners represents the highest beta trade on this nuclear renaissance theme and should provide the steepest returns during upswings. However, beta works both ways, and this should underperform during periods of market downturns. There are approximately 65 public uranium miners in this universe. Some of the most well-known and established names in the sector include Cameco, BHP Group, NexGen Energy, Denison Mines, Uranium Energy, and Yurk Energy. This list is not exhaustive and only represents a handful of names, each with unique strengths and weaknesses and prospects in the evolving nuclear landscape. Additionally, there are a few ETFs that grant investors exposure to uranium miners, such as Sprott Uranium Miners ETF and Global X Uranium ETF. Ultimately, investors should consult with their financial advisors to find the most suitable investment vehicle for their own risk tolerance. Finally, there are several well-known private companies operating in this space, with many working on fourth generation and small modular reactors. TerraPower, backed by Bill Gates and others, should be on the cusp of going public once their first reactor is fully built in Wyoming. In conclusion, the nuclear renaissance presents a multifaceted investment landscape with opportunities ranging from direct exposure to uranium and mining operations to broader engagements with the nuclear reactor development and utility companies. As the sector continues to evolve, propelled by favorable policies and increasing recognition of nuclear energy's role in decarbonization, investors are likely to find an expanding array of vehicles to participate in this growth. The momentum behind nuclear energy's resurgence underscores its potential not only as a cornerstone of global energy transition, but also as a compelling domain for investment, promising diversification, and resilience in the face of changing energy demands. Energy storage and investment opportunities. In our quest to identify promising investment opportunities, we're focusing on sectors poised to benefit from the rise of disruptive industries and technologies. As discussed in our January 26 market musings, industries such as artificial intelligence extend beyond chip makers like NVIDIA or ARM Holdings. They encompass end users such as cloud computing entities like Salesforce or Snowflake, as well as suppliers like ASML Holdings. Upon deeper investigation into the supply chain of these industries, the energy sector has been emerging as a hot topic over the last couple of years. But why energy? We've all encountered discussions surrounding the substantial energy consumption attributed to cryptocurrencies, particularly concerning their blockchain operation, with Bitcoin mining being a focal point of such discussions. Estimates from the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance suggest that electricity usage associated with this activity ranges from 0.2% to 0.9% of the total global electricity demand. Although precise data regarding the energy consumption of artificial intelligence remains scarce, preliminary research indicates a trend like that of Bitcoin. In an article posted by Melissa Hekela in the MIT Technology Review magazine, the author states that the energy expended in generating an image using AI is comparable to fully charging a smartphone. Further research projections indicate that by 2027, AI-related energy consumption could rival the annual electricity consumption of countries such as the Netherlands or Argentina. Despite increasing recognition of this issue, the lack of transparency from companies like OpenAI regarding their energy usage contributes to the opacity surrounding this industry. Nevertheless, the significance of this matter is steadily gaining traction. In January 2024, Senator Ed Markey, alongside other representatives, introduced a bill to require the U.S. federal government to assess the AI environmental footprint alongside the development of a standardized system to monitor energy usage and emissions. How does artificial intelligence energy consumption work, and why are people worried about it? Well, there are two parts to the process of creating an artificial intelligence model: training and interference. To give an example, if we were learning to play golf, we would have to go several times to the course, learn about the equipment, the rules, and most importantly, practice thousands of times to become competent. It is the same for an AI model. With generative AI, models must run millions of tests and iterations to learn to do the tasks that they were created for. This part is called training. For generative AI model to run, it must learn how to search, understand, summarize, and execute tasks in milliseconds, which takes millions of tests to achieve it. In 2018, OpenAI reported that since 2012, computing capacity requirements for training were doubling every 3.4 months. According to Google and UC Berkeley researchers, it was estimated that training ChatGPT-3 consumed in just 1 hour as much power as the annual energy consumption of 121 U.S. houses. However, as mentioned before, training is just the first part of the equation. A large generative AI model can be trained just once, but it can be used millions of times in 1 day. It is estimated that ChatGPT has up to 10 million users per day running multiple prompts in its systems. This user interaction process is called interference, where a model solves requests using what it learned from the training stage. Interference has a larger energy consumption than training due to the number of interactions that can happen in a single day. UC Riverside and UT Arlington researchers estimated that ChatGPT interference could consume as much as a 500 milliliter bottle of water for a short conversation of 20 to 50 questions and answers. All this energy consumption is happening within a relatively new form of real estate called data centers. As the use of computing continues to surge in the development of modern technologies, data centers are evolving into larger and more sophisticated facilities. But what exactly is a data center? Simply put, it's a specialized building filled with computers equipped with graphical processing units, GPUs. These GPUs, designed by companies like NVIDIA, are specialized chips that excel at rapid mathematical calculations needed for rendering images and graphs. NVIDIA holds a dominant position in the GPU market, having over 80% of the global market share. However, the role of data centers extends beyond just artificial intelligence applications. They serve as the backbone of every technological process we encounter today. Fueled by the escalating demand for digital services and technological resources, data centers have transitioned from modest 100,000 square foot installations to massive hyperscale buildings spanning 1 or 2 million square feet. Two of the biggest publicly traded data center real estate investment trusts, REITs, Digital Realty Trust and Equinix, together generated close to $14 billion in revenue last year, $4 billion higher than their combined revenue just 3 years earlier. A 40% jump in revenue generation in 3 years is significant, encapsulating the scale of the demand for this type of service. With data centers emerging as a critical component of the tech sector, projections by the International Energy Agency forecast that these facilities will consume the same amount of energy as Japan by 2026. This rapid growth is expected to be fueled by the adoption of innovative technologies and the proliferation of companies establishing proprietary data centers to bolster privacy and security measures. As the technology sector continues its rapid growth and becomes increasingly reliant on energy consumption, investors may find themselves pondering how to incorporate this industry into their investment strategies. Fortunately, there are several avenues to explore within this market. One approach is to consider investments in traditional utility companies. In the United States, for example, Northern Virginia stands out as a global epicenter of data centers, boasting nearly 300 facilities, including numerous AWS servers. This state alone accounts for over one-third of the global online traffic. Additionally, states like Texas and North Carolina are emerging as attractive destinations for companies seeking new markets for expansion. Companies like Sempra recently bolstered its transmission budget in Dallas by $5 billion through its subsidiary Oncor, betting on the competitive advantages of the fastest-growing market for data centers within the U.S. John Ketchum, CEO of NextEra, another beneficiary of this trend, recently stated that AI could increase energy growth in the United States by more than 80% over the next 5 years. In addition, Mr. Ketchum expects renewable energy generation to increase by threefold over the same period. These are staggering figures. Utility companies are certainly cashing in on the surge in demand for electricity driven by data centers, but energy consumption is anything but steady. In fact, it is more like a roller coaster ride with data centers and pretty much every other business riding the ups and downs of supply and demand. Currently, demand is outstripping supply by a mile, which explains why tech giants are pushing to build bigger and more sophisticated data centers. Nevertheless, regardless of the quantity of data centers, the availability of electricity remains essential for their operation. In this context, energy storage emerges as a crucial factor in the technology sector's future, as these facilities need a constant, uninterrupted supply of energy. Among the various forms of energy storage, lithium-ion batteries and hydroelectric dams stand out as the most prevalent options. In recent years, lithium-ion batteries have surged in popularity, particularly within the industry of renewable energy, as they offer a solution to the intermittent nature of wind and solar power. For years, companies have been making investments in this area of the energy storage industry, recognizing the cost-effectiveness of this type of battery. Tesla is a clear example of this trend. Back in 2017, the company changed its name from Tesla Motors to Tesla Inc. While this looks like a minor change, it reflected Elon Musk's vision of the company. Back then, the purpose of this rebranding was to show that Tesla was no longer just an electric vehicle producer, but they was expanding into an integrated EVs, solar power, and energy storage company. Recently, during a conference held in January of 2024, Musk said that this year, the energy storage operation will surpass the car business side as EV volumes expansion is set to stall in 2024. However, the current state of the batteries market paints a contrasting picture. Despite a surge in the industry prompted by the rise of electric vehicles in 2021, prices have recently undergone corrections due to oversupply and a lack of sustained growth guidance. Notably, nickel, lithium, and cobalt prices, the primary components of batteries, have plummeted 60, 85, and 65% from their peak, respectively. Declining expectations regarding electric vehicle growth, coupled with shifts in adoption trends, have further dampened market sentiment. Highlighting this trend, Tesla only sold one vehicle in South Korea during January 2024. While battery-related commodity prices have been falling, Goldman Sachs analysts anticipate further decreases of at least 10% throughout the year. This downward trajectory has also impacted battery manufacturers, with oversupply and reduced commodity prices adversely affecting their financial performance. In their earnings reports throughout 2023, Korean battery makers, one of the main players in this industry, reported diminished shipments to the U.S. in line with a broader decline in electric vehicle sales, exacerbating the downward pressure on margins due to inventory regulations related to commodity prices. While industry participants have experienced meaningful corrections in the last few months, this dynamic could be creating an attractive entry point for investors interested in gaining exposure to the sector. If we focus on data centers' growth expectations and energy consumption estimates for the near future, these market price adjustments could prove beneficial to portfolios with medium to long-term investment strategies, looking for exposure to the electric supply chain of technology. Investors could potentially access this industry by investing in ETFs like the First Trust NASDAQ Clean Edge Smart Grid Infrastructure Index Fund, which invests in companies directly involved in electric grid products and services, as well as energy storage and management. Many of the companies in this ETF are established industrial companies that make components for the electric grid market, adding to a degree of diversification to this investment theme by gaining access to it in an albeit indirect manner. Additionally, an ETF such as the Global X Lithium and Battery Tech ETF LIT could provide investors looking for exposure to this theme with access to both the technology and natural resources needed to harness the battery and energy storage industry. Data centers and energy storage are poised to serve as the backbone of global technology development in the next decade. However, it is crucial to acknowledge that certain areas lack comprehensive information, making this strategy particularly attractive for risk-tolerant profiles. Additionally, it is important to note that some segments of the industry mentioned were previously in bubble territory, and although recent market corrections have occurred, prices may continue to decline further before stabilization. There is no question that demand for energy generation and storage is rising, driven in large part by the ever-increasing need for power consumed by the very technology that powers our lives. Ranging from consumers such as data centers, to producers like utility companies, to storage and transmission manufacturers, there is little doubt that increased power consumption, generation, and storage will be important investment themes for years to come. Approached the right way, they could come to form important components of successful, well-diversified portfolios over the long term.